God is good. All right, Luke chapter 20, beginning at verse 27. The Pharisees had tried to stump Jesus, see if they could trick him, see if they could catch him up in his words. That's a favorite trick of religious people. Religious people like to make everyone else as miserable as they are, especially group number six up there. Group number six are those religious people who believe that they're innocent. They believe that they've kept the law, that other people should keep it, and they're not happy because not everybody's doing it. So these are the rulers, could be high priest, could be a Pharisee, a scribe, an elder of the people, the Jewish rulers. So this represents the Jewish rulers. And they have authority, and they don't recognize Jesus. And so their intent is to have him killed. They're going to crucify him because he doesn't fit their picture of holiness. And Jesus, one of the things he's doing wrong is he's letting people go free who are not right. They haven't kept the law. So these are guilty culprits up here, and Jesus is letting them in, which God certainly doesn't like. Why should you let people in that are guilty? And he's actually forgiving them, showing them mercy when they need punishment. So this group up here is a happy group, number seven, because they've understood through Jesus that God's not unhappy with them, and that even though they've broken all the laws, there's mercy with God, because his original intention was not to crucify people, but was actually to bless them and to let them into the kingdom of God. So this Jesus, who is the Son of Man, is claiming that he's the Messiah. He's claiming that he's the Messiah. And so they're trying to catch him because they know that though they're innocent and haven't done anything wrong, so these are the innocent here, in no sense. Is there two N's? Innocent. This is a very bad pen. This pen is guilty. So they're the innocent victims of the fact that other people have sinned and are wicked and ruining everything, and Jesus is trying to let them in. So they feel like he should be killed, and they're gonna see to it. And number six are all of those people that follow religion that doesn't want bad people into the kingdom of God. And this king over here, this is another king here, earthly king, and his name was David, King David. Now David lived a long time ago, and Jesus is actually born after David, a part of his family. He's from the tribe of Judah, and so he's part of the king, the kingship by royal blood. He is his son. He's the son of David. He's the son of David. So here's another Jesus up here. Only this one is called Son of God. Son of God. So this Son of God here is actually this guy here. This is before he came into the world, up in heaven. And God sent his son, number one, sent his son, number two, down on earth, number four. And David prophesied about that and said, you know, there was another king coming, a Messiah, who would reign on my throne, who would sit on my throne and would rule. But these people say, well, this is not the right guy. And these people say, I think he is. So there's a big argument here between the riffraff, ordinary people, and the religious folk who don't like sinful, wicked people. How many know that there's a little bit of that in all of us? We don't like people that are no good. Except in our case, we have reasons. How many know that we do wrong things, but we have reasons. Whereas wicked people are stupid because they don't even have any reasons. And we can see that plainly. When someone does wrong, we are quick to judge. How many are quick to judge? I mean, just a gift of God, it seems, that we are able to see through other people's stupidity and foolishness, but not our own. We want to justify ourselves, and we want justice done for others, but mercy in our case, because there are special circumstances that kind of explain everything. So even though we know we've all sinned and we haven't been perfect, still, when we sinned, we didn't feel good about it. You know, we weren't enjoying it. How many know that when a Christian sins, we don't enjoy it? We're feeling bad. Well, Jesus said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but some seem to sin more than others, and they certainly shouldn't get in. How many know that there are certain people out there that just shouldn't be part of the kingdom? And Jesus was so foolish, he just let anybody come in. Yeah, y'all come. We got plenty for everybody. So Jesus was just letting in riffraff. He was letting in any old fool. And that was wrong. So they had to kill him, because he wasn't keeping up the decorum of the place. He wasn't, you know, he was letting wrong kind of people in. And maybe we've all sinned a little bit, but some people sin way too much. And so the Jewish leaders, that's part of their job, is to make sure that people believe in water baptism in the right way, and, you know, come to church and sit in the right pews and all this stuff. And religious people have all these rules and laws that you have to follow. And if you don't follow those rules and laws, they want you out. They don't want you in. So they had a tight control. And since Jesus was way too easy on people, he was actually saying that God the Father, who's holy, was letting in people that they knew were not keeping his law at all. They'd eaten of the tree. He told them not to eat of that tree. They've broken all the commandments of God, or at least some of them. And that was wrong. And so they didn't like Jesus' idea of saying that God is going to condemn people that are wicked and let them in. How many know that's good news for us, because we are wicked and God has let us in? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I know I've done my part to keep up my sin on a daily basis. I practice it regularly, and I hope there are others in here who have done that. Do I have any pals, any friends? Good, 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 very good. Well, this gospel is only for sinners. It's only for group 7. It's not for 5 and 6. The good news, I mean, if you're already righteous, Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous. I didn't come for you. I only came for those that flunked. I only came for those that failed. I only came for those that are weak. I only came to those that are evil, that are nasty, and that won't change. That's the group I came for. Well, praise God. So I look around, and seems to me like we got a few here. I believe I can count at least 7 over here on this side. I think I'd see about 12 on this side. So we've got the group Jesus came for. Who are the 7 over here? The 7 wicked, guilty, you know, imperfect people. And who are the 12 over here? Oh my gosh, there's 14. Okay, well, I missed a couple. So you see, Jesus did not come for sinners to leave them be judged by the Father's law. He came for sinners to forgive them and die for them so that they wouldn't have to die and they could come in. So we're prepaid. You can just go on in. You don't have to worry when you go before God. Now let's say I was the judge. Let's say I was God and I was going to judge, and everybody had to come before my bench. And I would say, okay, Pastor Jim, how do you plead? Being Pastor Jim, I would go, innocent. He asked me how I pled. So I, innocent. And he said, are you sure? Yes, sir. Completely perfect. I have no sin at all. So he checks his book. He's got a little law book here because he's a judge. He checks the book. Well, Jim, let's just take, for example, last Thursday. I fined 7,384 sins just done on Thursday alone. How does that compute with what you know? Sir, I believe you're reading out of the wrong book. I don't know where you got that information, but I haven't committed any sin. Especially on Thursday, I know I didn't do anything then. That was a good day. So, innocent, I'll maintain myself on innocence. Well, Jim, if you just do one sin, you have to go to hell. So, you just step over here, because I've looked through this book, and just about every page is filled up with your sins. So, it isn't just one day. Your Honor, if it please Your Honor, is this a court of law or a court of equity? Well, this is a court of law, and under the law, you're guilty. Oh, I see. Okay, well, I don't want this to be a court of law. Could I change this to a court of equity? Because I'm putting all my faith not in my own works, which I have none, as you just pointed out, but I'm putting all my faith in Jesus, who did all his works for me. And I believe his works were perfect in your sight. Hey, that's very interesting. Okay, wait a minute. Let me check that other book. Yes, the Lamb's Book of Life. Jim Borchard. Well, by golly, you're right. Yeah, you put all your faith in Jesus? Yes, sir. Okay. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. To the right. And so, oh, and by the way, we'll have the marriage supper right afterward. So that's the way I'm going to answer when I go to heaven. I'm not going to answer based on my own goodness, because I don't have any. Anybody who knows me knows that. Now, I've fooled several people. They don't know me that well. But, Joe, you've seen right through me, I know. You still like me, though, right? Amen. But here's the deal, Joe. I'm getting in for free. I'm not getting in because I'm any good. I'm getting in because I'm no good. And I took his offer that said, if you flunk the law, you can go to the cross and let Jesus die for you. And then through equity, he's going to just give me his mercy and his grace. And I can walk right in. I can boldly walk right into God's presence at any time. How many know that is too cheap? That is too easy. But that is the good news. That is the good news, is that someone as wretched as I am, and I've always been this way. I've always been wretched, and I intend to keep it up. I could make a promise, but I'd be lying, that I won't do it anymore. As I know I'll probably sin even today, Norma. I probably will. In fact, I probably have done a few this morning, even on the way here. How many know it's hard to not sin? It's hard. They're just, people irk you. But even if people didn't irk me, I would just, all by myself, I would come up with all kinds of awful thoughts, and I would desire things that weren't right. I don't even need people to irk me in order to be wicked. Is there anyone else like me as pathetic and as useless and as worthless? But here's the way Jesus said it. Now I'm just taking him at his word. He said, and I'm gonna read this in a second. He said, Jim, it's like this. There's a scale that the Father has. So I'm gonna make a little. I don't like these black ones here. There's a scale right here. And here's a little bucket on this side and a little bucket on this side. And on this side is Jesus. There's Jesus right there. And I got to be equal to him in order to get in. So he's got me over here. Over here, this is me real little here. In that bucket. And I'm believing that I'm even equal to Jesus. So that as Jesus is righteous, the Son of God, so I'm righteous in the same way, but my righteousness is by faith, His is by dying for me on the cross. So I'm accepting the fact that God counts me as worthy. As worthy. Now, when I read this chapter, you're going to see that Jesus upsets number 5 and 6 by what he says. So the Pharisees had been arguing with Jesus, and they didn't like what Jesus said, but they decided they better not ask him any more questions because Jesus kept beating them. So here's what happened. The Sadducees, how many know what a Sadducee is? A Sadducee is a religious person, so they're sad, you see. And because they're religious and they're trying to be holy all the time, I mean, it's really an effort to be holy all the time. And so, therefore, these guys are real sad, and they hate Jesus. They don't like him at all, and they're going to kill him because he's claiming to be God's representative and speak the truth and tell exactly what God, number one, has said. Now, prior to this world, Jesus was number two. Before he was born, he was the only begotten Son. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so 2 became 4. So 2 became 4. Or 4 is 2. So the Son of Man, Jesus, when he was on the earth, was actually the Son of God, and that's why he said, I have authority, all authority, because what I say is the truth. I'm telling you exactly what the Father's heart is. Well, we have Moses, said 5 and 6. But Moses doesn't have the heart of God. Moses is only telling you the law of nature. It's just simply telling you the natural law, that you must love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And how have you done? How's it going? You doing that? And Moses also said, be perfect. Don't make one sin. Even from the time you're conceived until the time you're dead, don't make one sin. Because if you break the law in even one point, you broke the whole law. So you've just wasted your life. And there's no making up. You just do it one time, and you know, just one scratch on the car, it's not perfect. Just one spot on the dress, and the bride is rejected. That's pretty high standard, but that's God's standard. So he doesn't want to have any flaws. How many have at least one spot or wrinkle? Just one spot. All you got to have is one. Oh, you're out. To hell you go. And so, there it is. You got no hope at all. So if only 5 had listened to the law, they wouldn't be quite so proud. They wouldn't think they were innocent. In fact, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no hope. There's no hope at all. So if you had listened to Moses, Jesus said, you would have believed me. You apparently didn't pay attention to Abraham. Abraham said he believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So he didn't say, I did some good works and God accounted that as righteousness. He just said, I believed God and that was accounted as righteousness. How many know that it better be by believing rather than doing? Because by doing, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody's fallen down. So that's why they killed him, because they didn't like that idea. Anybody who's a good person doesn't like bad people. I mean, that gives you a right to judge them, to criticize them, to look down on them, to despise them. And that is very delicious if you're good. I mean, know that it's fun, actually, to do that. To walk by and to despise and look down on you poor slob. You know, I wish you were like I am, pleasing to God. You know, well, people that enjoy that are actually unhappy. Because one of the problems with that is the poor slob actually is having a good time, you know, doing whatever he wants to do, and the religious person is not allowed to have any fun at all. They're not allowed to eat a lot of salt or a lot of sugar or a lot of fat, or, you know, they're not allowed to commit adultery or murder or anything. I mean, they can't have any fun. I mean, it is fun to commit murder. I mean, it really is. When you see somebody that's despicable, you want to kill them. For example, a husband. Or a wife. Are there not times, I mean, there has been in my marriage, Joe, I don't know if you can accept this, but I wanted to kill Peg. I didn't want to divorce her, I just wanted to kill her. I don't believe in divorce, no, but killing, yes. You know, I knew that was wrong. But and there were just times where I just wanted to choke her. You know, she's just like, you don't know anything. I remember doing that. And I remember the time she said, well, if I had a knife, I'd stab you. So, you know, it's equal. We're well matched. But you see, I like that kind of wife. I like a wife like that with some gusto and some hatred and malice. And I don't love that. It makes life very interesting. Amen? You know, so I like Peggy is as evil as I am, and I like that. I happen to think she's a gift of God, and that all of her evil doesn't infect me at all. It doesn't bother me or trouble me. As a matter of fact, I laugh at her when the time she bit my arm and stuff like that. I laugh at that because she gets frustrated because she wants to do me harm, but she's shorter than I am. But her teeth are very sharp. And I remember this time. Margaret, you don't know about this part. She was just frustrated. You know, it's like, bite you. Because often, you know, I can irritate people. I don't know, I have a short fuse. And anyway, but that hurt. That hurt, and I did want to kill her. So, stop biting me, I'll kill you. You know, so, but it wouldn't be fair. Anyway, you know, the normal person might feel guilty about that. I don't. I don't at all. I don't have the normal kind of guilt thing because I'm a 7, you know. And so that's Peggy and me up there when I grow a beard. Peggy doesn't like beards. That's the only reason I don't have one. But I would like to have one, but, you know, she doesn't like it because you can't even find me. So, but, you know, David has a nice beard, but his wife doesn't like it either, so he doesn't want to have one either. But when she leaves, as she did last week, then he could grow one. So he did. So he was having fun. Are any other women like that? You know, you are not going to wear a mustache or a beard or anything because you can't get clothes. And you only wear those so you can hide. So you can hide behind that because you have a double life. Anyway, so Jesus is claiming to be, number 4 is claiming to be number 2, which is the son of number 1. So listen to this. This is very interesting how Jesus does this to upset the religious people whom he loves. He loves them, and one of the things he does is to expose them. And, you know, if they would admit that they were sinful, then he could forgive them. And so he did things and said things that would make them sin against him and kill him so that he could then forgive them. And having approached some of the Sadducees, so they saw the Pharisees couldn't get anywhere with Jesus, so they decided, hey, let us go after him. The ones who speak against the resurrection and said, there is no resurrection. So they questioned him and they said, teacher, now we know you're a religious fellow and you claim to be Jewish and so on, so we acknowledge that. Let me ask you something. Didn't Moses write in the law that if a man divorces, or if a man dies, then his wife is, she has to marry, under the law, she has to marry her brother, his brother. And so they're going to say there's no resurrection, so they're going to prove it to Jesus how stupid the idea is that there's a resurrection. Because they're saying, well, we read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We read the first 5 books of Moses, and we don't acknowledge the prophets. So we read that, and we want to ask you a question. How would you judge that? There is a man, and he had 6 other brothers. And he died, and he didn't have any children. So she married the next brother in line. He died and didn't have any children. And so on. All 7 brothers all died, all married her, and ended up no children at all. Now, let me ask you a question. Whose wife will she be in the resurrection? So that's a religious person coming up with a clever question like that to trap him. Can you see how that's a trap for him? Because there he's proving, hey, if there's a resurrection, whose wife would she be? She married all these different guys. And that would prove to them that there was no resurrection. So they'd thought that out, and they thought they were pretty clever on that one. So they got Jesus. They know they got him over a barrel here. So Jesus then says to them, where am I? Where am I? 24? 34. No wonder I'm on the wrong page. Yeah. All right. There it is. Yeah. And said to them, Jesus, the sons of this age, that is, tou aionos toutou, which means in Greek, the sons that belong to this world, that belong to this age, marry and are given in marriage. So everybody in this world, five and six, seven, all these people, while they're in this world, if they belong to this world, they're allowed to marry and to be given in marriage. He marries, she's given in marriage to him to marry, and so on. So he said that's true of this world. However, those not belonging to this world, but who are dead and who belong to the next age, they are, if they've been accounted worthy. Now, this work in this, if these people are worthy, now this group feels that marriage couple is not worthy because they believe in Jesus and they believe they're guilty culprits who have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus and so on. So they would consider that there is no resurrection, you just live, you die, and you're punished in this world. The Pharisees believed there was a resurrection, but not the Sadducees. Because why would a group believe that? I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that don't believe that there's anything after this world. Did you know that? There are some people that feel you just live your life here, make the best you can of it, have a good time if you can, and then that's it. That's kind of it. And this Sadducee guy right here, he's a temple guy, and he's into religion, big time. And he's made a business out of religion. You know, every time somebody comes to the temple, maybe they've done a little sin or something, then they sell him a dove. You know, doesn't cost very much. Or maybe a lamb without blemish. Or maybe a bull. And they collected money on that. And so they loved it when people would come to buy in the temple, and everybody, 2, 3 million Jewish people around the world at that time, everybody had to come and buy something if they had any sins. So they made sure that people knew that they had sins and that they had to pay for those sins. So they said, you know, after a guy dies, there's no resurrection. You're either godly in this world or you're not. And we are because we run the deal. And of course, they were happy. How many know that if you're rich, you're happy? Nobody knows that. Well, because you're not rich. But rich people are just obviously happy. Well, apparently not. You know, there's a lot of people that have riches and aren't happy at all. And a lot of poor people are happy. But the thing that makes us happy is Jesus. That's the only thing that makes you happy. The love of money is not evil. But it's a root of all the evils that come. So if you're into that, well, those guys are into that. And so they were arguing with him about this thing, and Jesus said to him, look, you do not understand that in this world people marry and are given in marriage, but not in the next world. In the next world, people are like angels, and they don't die. They don't die. In the next world, after death, if they have been found, and here's this little scale now. You probably can't see it. But this little scale here, there's a word, kata, kata, and then there's another word, axios, kata axios. Okay? What does it mean? This one means according to worth. According to axios means worth, right there. Worth, or esteem, or deemed to be. So What Jesus is saying is those having been accounted or reckoned worthy of worth because of their faith in him. So they have faith that even though they're no good, Jesus has given them all his goodness because he didn't sin at all. And he didn't sin, not for himself, but he didn't sin for him and her and whoever else. And so they are counted by God as worthy to be part of the family of God forever. So he said, what you don't understand is marriage is for this world, but in the world to come, there is no marriage. In the world to come, nobody, they're like angels, and after they're dead, they rise again to live forever. There's no male or female. There is none of that. So in the next world, you don't have that kind of thing. So he said, there's your mistake right there. Your question is wrong because you're asking, who will she be married to in the next world? As though you had proven then that there wasn't another world. Not only that, you're wrong about Moses. And then he went on to say, Moses actually said, and here, look here, the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush. Remember that bush story, where he speaks of the Lord of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember that story? Now, if God, by the way, Moses lives after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they're dead. But he said, Moses wrote down the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And is he the God of the dead or of the living? Why call him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if there's no resurrection and they're dead? But no, rather, he said, there is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who are still alive by faith. They're not dead. Yeah, they died, but they've been risen, and in heaven, there's no time or space. So they're already alive in heaven. How many know when somebody dies, that's only their body? But their spirit is alive. It didn't die. Spirits don't die. And so they're up in heaven. So he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and so on and so forth. And so we're there too. Because in heaven, God already knows me. I'm not going to die. I'm already resurrected. Yes, I'll die biologically, but spiritually, when I was born again, I'm already in heaven. How many know the Bible says, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places? So apparently that chair next to God on his right-hand side, that's my chair. I mean, that's Jesus' chair, but Jesus and me are married. So we're squeezed in together, you know, he and me sitting there. And you're there too. How many know that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation? So if you're in Christ, and Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, so are you. That's the hand of power, of glory. How many know that someday the likes of us will be sitting right there on the throne? You know, that'll be fun. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. I mean, I'm cheating a little bit now, having a good time, but it'll be really fun then, because I think there's candy and peanuts and everything all over the place up there. And while others are standing in line, I'll be munching. Hey, could I have this? Do you have any Coke? You know, and I know I won't be paying attention. But it's all mine, because I know who I am. I am royal priesthood. That is amazing, because I'm totally disqualified from it. But God's intention was always to give us the kingdom. How many know that that's God's purpose? And he never fails. If he wants something, it's going to happen. I mean, if he wants something, it's going to happen. So he happens to know which guy's a 5 and a 6 and which guy's a 7. He knows. So he knows I'm 7. How? Well, because group 5 and 6 think they're innocent. That's their sin. Whereas group 7 knows they're guilty. That's their salvation. Right there, because they admit, Jesus, did you come for the innocent or for the guilty? I only justify the ungodly. Oh, I'm one. Hallelujah. I've done all the sins. Well, not all of them, but Yeah, pretty much all of them. So if I haven't done them, I thought about them. And if I haven't thought about them, I'll get around to them if you leave me live long enough. Because I believe I could break every command. Have you done that, Joe, in your 90 some years? It's good. Well, I haven't gotten up to you where you are, but I'm working at it. But you know, Jesus said something like this. He said, "Even if you get angry at your brother, it's the same as killing him." Well, I thought killing him was bad, and I never did that. I have never killed anybody yet. I told you I tried with Peggy, but I didn't get very far. But I would like to. I've wanted to, but I just haven't done it. And so here's what Jesus said. Even if you just want to, or you save somebody, you're a fool. I've said that a lot of times. Oh my gosh. You don't know anything, you fool. I've said that. Which shows how brilliant I am. And anyway, he said, you're liable to the same judgment as the guy that killed. What? That's a little rough. Well, that's the law. That's the rule. How many know if you lust after someone, even in your heart, you've already done it and you have to, same punishment. Oh my gosh, I've done a bunch of that then. Hello? And yet outwardly, I haven't done all the sins. Well, I've done some, but not all. I don't know how many I'll have to check to see how many I've broken. I've broken a bunch outwardly. You know, stealing, I've done that. Bearing false witness and lying, I've done that. And coveting, oh man, I didn't even know what it was till I read about it. And I've done that. And so I have broken the commandments, and apparently you can't break the second six until you break the first four, which means having other gods beside him, you know, taking his name in vain, dishonoring the Sabbath day. If I weren't a pastor, I wouldn't even be in church probably. I mean, it's because you pay me to do it, I do it. But I'd probably be off goofing around. Is anyone else like me? No, because you're all here. You guys are idiots. You don't have to even be here. You're not the pastor. I have to be here. But I'm glad you're here because the collection helps a lot with the collection. Now, God is not looking at my deeds or even at my character. I have neither character nor conduct pleasing to God. But you know what I do have, Joe? I believe that Jesus had the character and the conduct and loved me, and the Father intended me to come into his kingdom and inherit everything he has, and I'm taking it. I'm taking it. I don't know if I have the right attitude or not, but I'm taking it. I'm just taking it. And when he looks down at me, he's just so happy when he sees me. Isn't that cute Jim down there? He's so cute. Give me a kiss, you cute little thing. And he is not mad at me for all the sins I've done. Because he already took care of that with Jesus. And he sees me just running around, you know, butt naked, not even dressed up and anything and so on. And he just goes, he's so cute. He's just so cute. Give you a good little whack. And he likes me. He likes me. Well, I'm accepting that. And I'll tell you what, if you accept that and you are pleased with the Father, he's pleased. He's pleased. He just says, you know, it really pleases me that you're pleased with me. And I am. I mean, God is so good. God is so good. I am not good. I am not good. And I believe that half of this church isn't good. I believe that. Solemnly believe that. You know why? Because I've heard some of you and I've seen some of you in your off moments. You know, I mean, when no one is looking, I'm always surprised when church members swear. I am. I'm always surprised. I'm just like, I can't believe it. Didn't I mention not to do that? But I hear them, especially when they want to be expressive about something. And I'm just always amazed. I could tell you just story after story of being a pastor. Usually people put away the beer or the whatever when you come around, stop swearing, and or they apologize. I'm sorry, Pastor. That's my French. Pardon my French. That wasn't French at all. It was English. I understood it very well. Now, French is sacré bleu. You know, I understand French. So I know that's not French. So there you have it. But God loves us as we are, And Christians, I tell you what, they're happy like I am. I'm always happy, Joe. I'm happy all the time. Why? Because God doesn't want anything from me. Doesn't want me to do anything. He wants to do it all. He created me, then he redeemed me. Now he's transforming me by the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing to me. And I didn't do anything. And the reason I worship him, and I do, the reason is because there's nothing to be done. I'm not worshiping him to get something. I'm worshiping him because I already have everything. And I'm just going, hey, if everything's done, then there's nothing for me to do, but well, thank you. We'll praise the Lord. And I just adore him because there's nothing to do. Worship is not a work. It is an act because all the work's been done by Jesus for me, in me, through me, by God. Praise the Lord for that. How many here know that that just removes all guilt and condemnation? That just takes away all fear. Because I can't goof up because he covers everything and he's already paid for it. And I don't know what you think, but I'm telling you what, I'm not tempted then as much as when I was supposed to do well and I never did. But I'm not tempted now to want to even do it. It's just less and less. And one of the good things I've done over the years is Peggy and I have become more even. We've become more equal. For example, when we first got married, she only had two sins. And, I helped her. Now she's as wicked as I am. And I brought that out. I brought that out on her because she needed to know she was guilty. And now she knows that. So isn't that a blessing on my part? See, because my evil brought out her hidden evil, and it came out to the surface, so then I could forgive her. I love it. I love it when she bites me and yells at me, because then I see, a worthy companion. Because I used to be the bad guy, and it was unbalanced like this. That's going to be a divorce right there. So I've evened it out. Now we're equally evil, and I hope that the rest of the church will come into that sooner or later. I hope Joe, you and me will be equal, and Norma, are you equal with me already? You're trying? Well, that's good, dude. Keep it up. Are you trying to get up to where I am, or are you trying to get down to where I am? You don't want to sink to my level? Or are you above me or are you below me? Or are you equal to me? Okay, praise God. I could arrange that. All you got to do is live with me for a while. And then pretty soon your bad side comes out. But you see, here's the deal. Jesus came on the earth to reveal the hearts of men. And what are the hearts of men? Evil. Evil continually. And so, sooner or later, those good guys that were innocent killed Jesus. And they said, he's not God's son. Four is not two. This is just a guy that's flesh. He's the son of David. That's what they said. Okay, he's in the royal house, but he's no king. He's not God's Messiah. So here's what Jesus said to them. He's got them now because they've fallen into a little trap here. For no longer, so that they decided after Jesus had said about, the dead people being alive in God, they decided not to ask him any more questions. So Jesus said, okay, you're afraid to ask me. You don't even dare ask me any more questions. I'm going to ask you a question. So Jesus was waiting for the time they'd stop asking questions so that he could ask one. Here's the question he asked. Of all the questions in the world, listen to this question. Has to do with who Jesus is. He said, they say, that the Messiah is the son of David. Then, if so, why does David say, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand? So who is the Messiah? Is number two the same as number four? Because if so, watch this. This is Jesus when he was Lord in heaven. Here's the Lord the Lord Creator, the Lord God. Here's the Lord God, the creator of the world, and here's the Lord. And King David said, who was a Lord, he said, my Lord, this is my Lord, was said to by the Lord. So the Lord spoke to my Lord. That means two. How many know the Jewish people only believe there's one? God is one. Yeah. But listen to this. King David, who was Jewish, from the tribe of Judah. King David said, the Lord spoke to my Lord and said, sit here at my right hand. So I'll put an R there. Sit at my right hand in the place of dominion, authority, power, majesty, and glory. Sit over here in the chair of equity. Sit over here where mercy goes forth. Now, I'll sit in this chair. You sit at my right hand. And you go down. So here, number two, who is my Lord of David, comes down and becomes the Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Lord. David's Lord is David's son, or is this David's Lord? So Jesus asked that question of the Jewish people. Look, some say that the Messiah is the son of David. Then why does King David call him Lord? And he said, the Lord spoke to my Lord. In other words, there's two that are equal. You say, how are they equal, Pastor? They're equal because Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Now, number four said that. Number four said that. So David prophesied that earlier, 1,000 years before Jesus. He said, one God spoke to another God. Well, are there two gods? And this is David, the king of the Jews, who believes that God is one. He said, I and the Father are one. So if I and the Father are one, Jesus said, then there's no difference in being. Jesus is as much God as God the Father. Just like my son David is as much a human being as I am. But in government, I'm his dad. But that's just government. But in equality, I'm not more human than he is. I'm not more anything. We're equal. We're made out of the same stuff. So is Jesus the son of David and just a man, flesh and blood, or is he the Lord of David, the creator of the universe? They couldn't answer the question. Because Jesus wasn't saying it himself. He was quoting one of their authorities. What about Abraham? He was accounted to God, not for any good deeds he did, but for faith. He believed in God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. You want to follow him? Or Moses, who said, be perfect. You want to follow him? Are you perfect? Number five and six? No. Well, then, if King David called him Lord and not son, I'm not just having David as my ancestor and his successor. I'm actually his Lord. Before Abraham was, I am. And Moses wrote of me and said, another prophet God will raise up. Listen to him. I'm the greater prophet. And not only that, I am the Son of Man and the Son of God. And I have come to change, not the law, but to change the interpretation of that law. Now God's holiness is not that holiness by which you are to be condemned for your sin, but is that holiness by which God makes you righteous by your faith in his finished work. When I die, you die. When I rise, you rise. When I go to heaven, you're in heaven. You are right now, not going to be, you are already seated with Christ in heavenly places. You know, Joe, I'm not even here. I look like I'm here. People still see me here, but in heaven there's no time. In heaven it's all finished. The minute God thinks something, it's done. And so on earth, there's time and space. I'm here, not there. It's now, not then. But not in heaven. So in heaven, I'm already there. Because God foreknew me, and he foreknew you. And it's his pleasure to have you in the kingdom. and to share all good things forever and ever. Boy, that now that makes me happy. Because I now, no one can take away my joy. No one. All, I could sin. I don't have to, Joe. I'm not saying I'm going to do it. But if I do sin, just maybe. If I do sin, I could sin all the way from here to heaven and still go. And by the way, that wouldn't really be sin. Why? Because even though you call it sin under the law, you know what God calls it? I have faith in Jesus, and the only sin now is not believing in Jesus. Committing adultery and murder, which I haven't done either of those, but committing adultery and murder are no longer the big issue. Now the issue is not believing in Jesus. So Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. So if you don't believe on number four, then you never understood number two. And you don't believe three, who prophesied about that and called the Messiah, not his son, but his Lord, who was spoken to by his Lord, which actually they're the same. So actually one and two and four, which is two, are actually all one, sitting on the same throne, and I'm there too. Ha! Through the Holy Spirit, we're all joined together. And so you and I, who just partook of the meal, are all part of the same heavenly family. Well, I'll tell you, this stumped those Pharisee guys, and they were determined after that, after hearing that truth, to be Christians. No. No. Did you know that people are so wicked and so sinful that even when they hear the truth, they still want to kill things they don't understand? You know, if you think you're innocent, you're a killer. If you know you're guilty and you know you're a killer, then Jesus comes and dies for you so you don't have to die. That is amazing. In other words, somebody who's trying to establish their righteousness and say, well, you know what, I've never done that. Or, thank God, I'm not as bad as that. Now, that's the way Jewish people to this day still pray. They pray something like this. Father, I thank you that I'm not like other men. You know, adulterers and scum and so on and so forth. And then they pray this. And I thank you that I'm not a woman. I think that's funny. So that's the way Jewish guys who are really, really, really religious pray. Thank God I'm a Jewish male. Because there's something to that, you see. Well, I don't buy any of that baloney. I thank God that I sinned. You know why? Not because the sin was any good. I knew it was no good. Even when I did it, I knew it was no good, but I just did it anyway. There's something about sin that it's addictive. Has anybody found that? There's something about saying stuff you're not supposed to say that feels good. And I know you're not supposed to say it. It's actually, though, delicious sometimes to say it. I've thought bad thoughts. I've had bad emotions. I've done everything you're not supposed to do. And all the stuff you were supposed to do, I never did them. I have never, ever, ever, ever been perfect. Is anybody else here? You have been perfect? No, you're identifying with me. Is there anyone else that has been perfect? Getting beyond where I am? No. See, we're all in the same boat. So why look down on other people? Why judge other people? What a waste of time. When with the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. If you criticize me, you're criticizing God. Because he likes me. I'm one of his favorites. He loves me so much. Oh, Jim, you cutie. I love that. That's the way I think of God. I just think he's tickled with me. He just likes me. And I haven't done anything good. I've deliberately, consciously, you know, it says in the Bible, don't deliberately and consciously sin. I have. You know, like it says, don't rejoice in the wrong when you see it. Sometimes people get it, and I laugh. I just love it. Yeah. Now, I know you're not supposed to say that, so I'll say it to Peg. Say, look what happened to so-and-so. Good. I mean, that's not the Christian thing. I know that's wrong, but I just do it anyway. I'm just, is there anyone else like me is just as free and as, you know, worthless, really? You are? Praise God. Start a church over here. This very good church. Because I'll tell you something. Unless you know how wicked you are, you will never love God. And you're never going to love anyone else. She that hath been forgiven much loveth much. In other words, to the extent you've been forgiven for your wickedness, and you acknowledge that, to that extent you're a lover. But if you think you're righteous and you don't need all that much forgiveness, you won't love. You'll be cold. Religious people are cold people. They're not having any fun. Being around religious people, they're really, they're tough to be around because they're always striving so hard to prove themselves. Amen? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? What a waste of time worrying about trying to be good, trying to be decent. Just be what you are. What are you? What are you? I mean, I don't want my wife to be what I want her to be. I want her to be whatever she is. I've told her, don't please people. Don't please anybody. Just do what you want to do. Don't please me. Don't cook for me. Don't clean the house. Don't do anything. I don't care. Do it if you really want to. But if you don't want to, don't do it. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. So I love that. I love living in such an environment where God is not ticked off and horrified, you know, that we've thought something or done something. How many know God can see out the back of his head? He can see stuff through the dark. A lot of my sins I do in the dark, but God can actually see them. I don't know. I don't think he has those glasses, but he can somehow spot you right in the dark. I know those satellites can get you, but God's got somehow, he's, I don't know how he does it. And not only that, they can't read your thoughts, but he can. He actually knows what you're thinking. And I'm condemned right there. So, you know, why hide? What's the point of fig leaves? Just go out and eat the apple. You hear what I'm saying? Now, does it make you happy? Nah. So why do you do it? I don't know. I'm just bad. Is anybody else like that? I'm an inveterate bad person. And if anything good ever came out of me, it'd be a miracle. It'd be a miracle. Somebody say, well, Pastor, you really helped me the other day. Me? I didn't. Well, it's something you said. Well, I was just saying what God made me say. I just said it because God, because I like him. I like God. And I believe every word that he said. I take it literally, meaning whatever he said, I don't even know what it means, but whatever he said, I believe it. I believe that's the truth. But the main thing that I like is that he likes me. That's the main thing I like, is that he's forgiven me all my sin. And so David calls Jesus, not the son of David, his successor, one of his great, 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 you know, whatever, how many greats there are, children. But he calls him his Lord. And so Jesus was saying something scandalous to the Jewish people. There can't be two gods. You can't be David's son and his Lord. That's why he asked him the question. Okay, men say that I'm the son of David or that the Messiah is. Might be me. But how come David doesn't call him son? Why does he call him Lord? And why does he say that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand? That's exactly where Jesus is going to sit when he goes back. Did you know that when he died and then he rose again from the dead, he went immediately that same day. Remember Mary Magdalene was holding his legs? And he said, let me go. He couldn't move. She had his feet right there. She said, hold on, don't go. He was trying to lift off. You know, Mary, let me go. And he was going home to the Father right then. And he said, here's what he said to her. I'm going home to my God and yours. Wow. Putting us equal. Magdalene was, you know, naughty. She's a naughty girl. She had done some naughty things. And yet he was calling God her God. Why? Because she believed in Jesus. Isn't that powerful? So simple. So sweet. This is the best news in the world, and hardly anybody hears it, first of all, and then they don't believe it when they hear it. It's too hard to believe because it's cheap. It sounds cheap. Jesus has died for all my sins. If you preach this message, won't people go out and sin? Yeah, but whether you do or not, they're going to go out and sin. Did you know that? Even if you didn't preach it, even if you preached, don't sin, still going to do it. Especially if you say, don't sin, they'll do the very thing you tell them not to do. For example, let's say you had a child and you said, now don't wear your hair long like that. That's the first thing they're going to do. And no tattoos. That's the first thing they go out and do. They'll do it. I'll just tell you, when you tell somebody not to do it, there's something in them that says, I'm going to go do that very thing. Has anybody discovered that in yourself? I mean, religious people, of course, don't do it, but they don't have any fun either. And they're not real people. You're a real people when you just defy authority. Hello? I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just saying you do it anyway. That's all. I'm just simply saying, don't pretend like you didn't do it just because you thought you didn't do it, or you didn't do it outwardly. You did it inwardly. Everybody here kills Jesus. Everybody. It wasn't just 5 and 6. 7 and 8 killed him too. It was your sins, my sins, that put him on the tree. The amazing thing is not that we killed him. The amazing thing is that he didn't hold that against us. Remember, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Sounds like me. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know I'm the one that loves them. I'm the one that created them. I'm the one redeeming them. I'm the one that's going to transform them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't they know that? And he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know that. They're ignorant. People are ignorant of the goodness of God. I'll tell you, if it ever hits you, it'll transform your life. Because you realize, why sin? Now, you can sin. You can do it. But why sin if the Father's already promised you everything? You see, with all my sinning that I did, Joe, it didn't lead up to happiness. I always did what I wanted to do. Always. If I wanted to do something, I did it. I would find a way. If there was not an obvious way, I'd find a sneaky way. But sooner or later, I'd get my way. Has anybody else ever done that? And you can do it in your imagination, even if you can't do it in practice. You can just imagine things. Teenagers do that. They just imagine being beautiful when they're ugly. And they'll write that on their little notebook. Alice the Beautiful. And she's as homely as a mud fence. And she's not beautiful at all. But she'll write that on her little notebook because that's what she aspires to be. And she wishes she was like that. And little teenage boys do the same thing. You know, you be a puny kind of a guy like I am. I've never amounted to a hill of beans. I tried some push-ups once, but they got me tired, so I quit that. It didn't help. You know, so I just let the guys kick sand in my face. But, you know, the thing is, everybody wants to be greater and more perfect than they are. So what? So what? You're not going to be. You're going to be a disappointment to yourself if you have a standard. You can't even live up to your own standard. You all discover that? So let go. Stop it. God loves you just the way you are. Just because he birthed you, that's enough. Right there. And he sent Jesus for all your sins. He told you to do right because right is right. But when you didn't do right, he did it for you. And then he forgave you. And now he's ready to live through you through the Holy Spirit. Wow. I'm taking that. That is too good. The world is full of all kinds of stuff. But Jesus is ready to forgive all of it. I tell you, this message will go out, not as words, but as deeds. It will go out to the whole world before Jesus returns. It's going right now to the Muslim world. It's going to the Buddhist world, the Hindu world, the Christian world. Christians are as far from the truth as anybody. Even though they have the words, they don't have the reality. Show me a Christian that's full of joy or truth or wisdom or power or strength. You know, where is all that stuff? Forgiveness and mercy. Where is it? It's not there. Did you know that God has saved the best to the last? It's dessert. Dessert always comes after the meal. You're feeling, you know, you don't need any more. You're satisfied. But then he always has something special, a little surprise that, hey, it's just because I love you. It's just a little extra here. And, you know, God is too good. Have you experienced that, God? A lot of people are looking now for a downturn in the economy and, you know, things looking bad and Obama will embarrass us in the world and, you know, he won't be able to keep his party together. He won't keep any of his promises. The black people are going to be mad because they don't have free insurance and all that stuff. It's not going to work out. All those promises he made won't happen. So what? Grow up. You have a God. What do you have to have a good president for? What do you have to have somebody who's a God? He just promised all that so he could become president. he's a liar because he's from Chicago. I know because I'm from Chicago. That's the way we do it in Chicago. Just do whatever it takes to get to wherever we want to go. But anyway, it doesn't matter because God has the best saved for you, not only heaven. When he says the best is yet to come, he doesn't mean heaven. He means the best is yet to come, even on this earth. The reason, okay, there's a reason why it hasn't come. Why hasn't it come? Cause, time, first of all. But second of all, we haven't worshiped him purely because we're still trying to prove that we're a 5 and a 6 and we're doing our best and all that nonsense. When he's already put Jesus up, God the Father, number one, has already set Jesus up and said, I don't need you now to be righteous. Jesus was righteous for you. And I won't accept any more righteousness. You can't add to the merits of Jesus. You can't have Saint Agatha or Saint Christopher or Saint Agnes or whatever. You can't have that. Jesus is perfect and it's completely paid. We are complete in him. It's over. Are you happy all the time now? Yahoo! Powerful. God is good. God is good. No one else is good but God. God is in you. He's for you. He's working through you. He'll do all the transforming. You can't transform yourself. You can't stop sinning. You don't need to pay attention to that. Let God take care of that. While you're beholding him, he'll change you. If you behold yourself changing, you'll stop growing. The only way you're going to change is by don't. Don't change. Just look at Jesus who changes not. And God will do all the work. And he'll get all the glory, and then he'll give it all to you. As soon as he gets all the glory, he'll give it all to you. As soon as he gets all the glory, he'll give it all to you. That's why the Father puts the Son at his right hand and puts you inside Jesus, in the chair. You're in the chair that he's in, through the Spirit. Same Spirit, Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all in you. That's why you know the Father now. That's what the Father wants to reveal to you. The best is yet to come. But don't be happy when you see it. Start today. Start today. Don't wait for it. Just start declaring it long before you see it. I will be perfected. It won't be imputed righteousness in the next world. It'll be actual. You can't do that. You can't do that. For you to become like Jesus, that's not possible. But for God to make you like Jesus, that's perfect. That only God can do. Only God is good. Only God is powerful. Only God is merciful. Someday you also will be good, powerful, and merciful, but that's not in this world. That's in another world. Today, anything that happens, it's a miracle of God, but it is not in you. If you were cut off, it would stop. So the best has been saved to the last. Pure worship is that God has done it all and will continue until you are perfected. How many believe that God made you? Yeah, that's true. How many believe that God saved you? Yeah, that's true. How many believe that he will perfect you so that when you see him, you'll be perfect? That's the problem right there. That one's the hardest to believe is, I don't know, I'll probably improve a little bit. No, you'll be perfected. No sin will be able to take hold of you. But in this world, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You see yourself growing a little bit, but you see yourself dying out here and there, but you still got some remaining residue of sin in you. Everybody here has at least one sin remaining, right? You know which one it is. There's at least one sin. This is kind of a favorite. In case God doesn't come through, you can use it on him. But God knows those little tricks. And he doesn't want you to be proud of the fact that you don't have any sin. He wants you to keep your eyes on Jesus, who took away your sin by mercy. That's humbling. You would like to look better so you could brag. He doesn't want you to look better so you'll brag. He wants you to remember where you came from. Don't worry, he's not anxious about the fact that sin is still here. It doesn't bother him. The only sin now is don't believe in Jesus. That's the only sin. Jesus is going to keep all of God's promises. Everything that God promised, Jesus will keep it. And the last one, the promise of the Spirit, that's work at work in you right now. You will be perfected on the last day. You see some evidence now, don't get excited about that. You see some evidence, don't be excited about that. Be excited that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus will do all the rest. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. So simple that people hate it. Because they would love to be able to help out and get a little pride, get a little bit of credit. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get any pride or any credit. Amen? Don't ever trust pastors who are good. Sorry, you're left with bad ones. But I only believe in bad pastors. I don't believe in good pastors. I don't believe in good people. I believe only God is good. There is no such thing. Any pastor who doesn't tell you right away, strip. They should strip and be naked. Remember once they worshiped Paul and they said, oh, like a god, like Apollos. He stripped his clothes off and said, look, I'm naked just like you guys. Don't ever worship a man. Worship only God. Because only God can do anything. Man can't do anything. So don't be looking for people to shape up. God's already perfect. Put your eyes on him. The best is yet to come. Father God, we thank you for this day. This is the day you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Everything's done. Everything's done in heaven, and as in heaven, so on earth. As it is in heaven, let it be on earth today through me to some extent. It won't be perfect, no, but it's a start. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're doing that. It's not us. We're just believing. We're just meditating on all the goodness of God. We're thanking you for what you've done. We're praising you for who you are. And we're adoring you because there is no one else. We're seated at the right hand of the throne on high with Jesus. Amen and amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. His peace. Not as the world gives, but as the Father gives to you his own peace. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.